You know, it's so great to be here, and I just am really believing that the best is yet to come, amen? Amen? I think that 2015 may be the best year of your life. It may be the best year of my life. You know, Rebecca and I, we left a lot. We left a lot behind in Victoria. But the only reason we did is because we believed that God had something else for us here. That God had something great for us here, that no matter what we leave behind, when God calls us into something, it's because he has something good in store for us. So I believe that maybe things have been hard for some people in here, but I also believe that God has the power and has promised to work out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that hard thing that you may have experienced recently, God can transform that into something beautiful. What do you think? Could the best be yet to come for Bethel Church? Could the best be in our future? But there might be some in here who say, Pastor Dave, we appreciate the positive attitude. You're the new guy, you know. You're trying to get us all excited about the future. But I don't think it's just being positive. The thing is, I'm just a believer. Like, I just believe in a big God. What's the alternative than belief? I don't want to be a doubter. I don't want to be a skeptic. I don't want to think that God can't or doesn't want to. I want to believe for the best. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be storms. But tough times are temporary. Storms don't last. Difficulty does not have the final say in our life because Jesus remains on the throne and nothing can change that. The best is yet to come. Believers always have a reason to believe. People of faith always have a reason to have faith. Faith isn't just for good times. Faith isn't just for salvation. Faith is the nature of life as a Christian. Bill Johnson once said that faith was never intended only to get us into the family of God. Rather, it is the nature of life in this family. So we believe. You know, 2 weeks from today, we have Dave Solms coming from district office as a special guest. There's going to be an installation service. This is kind of my official beginning at the church. Although this is actually did you know this is my literal first day? I wasn't here at all this week. This is my first day. So I did nothing. I'm just here to preach, which is awesome. It's the best part anyways. But I'm really looking forward to getting started this week with the staff and getting things going. But for the next 2 weeks before Dave comes, we're just going to look at the first couple verses of Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to talk about faith and this big God that we worship and talk about what it means to believe in great things for our future as a church family. So let me read Hebrews chapter 11 starting in verse 1, and I'm pretty sure this is all going to be on the screen. This morning we're talking about confident hope. Hebrews chapter 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought a better sacrifice, a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, I just want to speak very simply over these next couple of weeks from that first verse we read. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Now, this verse doesn't necessarily give us the total and complete definition of what faith is, but what it is a description of what authentic faith does and sees. So this morning, we just start with the first part of it. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. It's confidence in what we hope for. And if you're following along and writing notes, this is the first point this morning, that we have hope in the promises of God. We have hope in God's promises. What we hope for in this verse relates to what is promised, but not yet here. Just like a young man would give a young woman an engagement ring as a promise to marry her. In that moment, hope begins, looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise, the wedding day. But in the meantime, it's living in hope, confident of the fulfillment of that promise. See, God has promised many things to us in Scripture. Some of those things are either only partially fulfilled or not fulfilled yet at all. For example, God has promised us new, resurrected, perfect bodies. Anyone received those yet? No. It's amazing. I know I'm still a very young man. I'm only 31 years old. But it's amazing that even a 31-year-old body sometimes just says, "Oh, we've had a good run." Really? Oh, it's disappointing. You know, I hope this isn't my resurrected body, because I hope my resurrected body has a little more up here and a little less down here. I come from a long line of Northern Europeans who were built for surviving cold winters. So it's, you know, it takes a lot of work to keep that off. But that's one of God's promises that is not yet here. And so in the meantime, we live in hope. Romans 8 says we are still awaiting the redemption of our bodies. In the meantime, we hope. We hope for that. Here's a definition of hope that you want, if you want to write it down. Hope is a confident expectation of a future reality. It's a confident expectation of a future reality. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a home with Christian parents. In fact, I grew up in a home where my father is a pastor. He also has two brothers who are pastors. My mother is a pastor's daughter, and one of my mother's brothers is a pastor. It's genetic in our family. So my mom, if you're listening to this properly, my mom is a pastor's daughter, a pastor's wife, a pastor's sister, the sister-in-law of two pastors, and a pastor's mother. She deserves a medal, doesn't she? Now, regardless of my mother's Christian pedigree, every year on my birthday growing up, when I blew out the candles on my cake, she would say, "Did you make a wish?" "A wish? Yeah, but don't tell me what it is, because it won't come true." Now, I'm not here to get legalistic about birthday traditions, but isn't this weird for Christian families? Did you make a wish? To who? To what? What power is there in this wish? And why can't I say it out loud and it won't come true? What gremlin is going to come steal my wish away? Isn't that a funny tradition? You see, hope is much different than making a wish. Hope is much different than just good intentions and wishful thinking and a positive attitude and just, you know, throwing up a wish up in the air to a star that's a billion light years away. Hope is much different than that. It's a confident expectation of a future result. It's not found in nothing. It's not hope for the sake of hope. It's not a wish based on no evidence that the fulfillment of that wish could possibly come true. Why are we so confident when it comes to hope? We're confident because our hope is based in the promises of God. We're confident because God is a good and powerful God, because he has revealed himself to us, because he has shown us his power. He has come in Christ, and Christ promised to raise from the dead, and he did that. So what other promise could he not possibly come through on? That's why we are confident. The greatest promise that God has made to us that we are still waiting for is that one day Christ will return to end all suffering, vindicate people of faith, finalize his victory over the enemy, and establish his kingdom forever. And that's the hope that we continue to cling to. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because for he who promised is faithful." See, why do we hope? Because he who promised is faithful. We have a reason to hope because of who made the promise. Faith fills the gap between hope and the fulfillment of promises. You see, hope is over here. Hope is the engagement ring. The fulfillment is over here. So what do we do in the meantime? That's when we live by faith. We're hoping for this, and in the meantime, we live by faith. Faith helps us live today in light of what we know about tomorrow. Faith helps us look to the fulfillment of that promise and possess that promise in our hearts today so that we can live differently, we can act differently, we can make decisions differently. I'm not going to make decisions based on the same criteria of people who don't have the promises of God in their life. I'm not going to do things the same way as everybody else because I believe in a future that is sure because my God is sure. And I can live my life differently in light of that. And that's living by faith as we have hope. And the great thing is God has given us an incredible resource for this hope. Very simply, Romans 15:4, Paul writes that everything that was written in the past, he means this, the Word of God. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. You know, sometimes we forget how powerful the Bible is to do work in our hearts under the surface. Even if you're reading it and you go, I don't even understand what I read today. The Holy Spirit is doing work in us that will build up our hope and our faith and give us endurance and put something into us that we might not even see, but will build into our soul. Faith and hope are built through hearing stories of believers who have gone before us and their faith has been vindicated by God. If we had time to continue through Hebrews chapter 11, we would see all these examples of men and women of God who had faith in Him, who trusted in Him, and were shown to be vindicated that the promise came through. Maybe not in their lives, but in their children, in their children's children. They believed in that promise. You know what's great about this list of people? They were all really messed up. The whole list is full of liars and doubters and manipulators and murderers, and there's a prostitute. You name it. Because faith isn't about us. It's about Him. So anybody who puts their faith in Him will see that faith vindicated. So we live between hope and the fulfillment of promises, and we live by faith. See, if I'm not reading my Bible, I'm missing out on the greatest resource of hope and faith that God has given me. The other incredible resource is right here in this room. Men and women of God who live today, who have incredible stories of God's faithfulness and His goodness and His power. And I am so looking forward to hearing your stories and to encouraging one another as we hope and live by faith for what God continues to have for Bethel Church's future. We need to encourage one another. We need to share our stories. We need to grab each other and say, hey, I believe in you because I believe in God. I believe that God has a promise in your life. I believe God has spoken into your life and He has a great future for you. We can encourage one another in that way. Secondly, this morning, see, we have hope in the promises of God, but we also have confidence to continue to move forward toward those promises. We have confidence to actually take steps of faith between hope and the fulfillment of promises. See, it says faith is the confidence in what we hope for. Hope is the posture we take to endure our present circumstances while waiting for the fulfillment of promises. But faith is the steps we take on the journey between hope and fulfillment. Faith moves us forward. I don't have the promises yet, but in faith, I will continue to move forward toward those promises until they are fulfilled. Why? Because I'm confident in the one who gave the promise. First of all, we're confident in the good work of God. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I am confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, God began a good work in us on the day of salvation when we received Him, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and He transformed our lives. God began that good work in us. And Paul says, I'm confident that it's just the beginning. He will continue to carry it on all the way until the fulfillment of all His promises. He's going to continue to work on us. And he says, it is good work. Sometimes we think that God messed up or God forgot about us or we're too insignificant for Him to care. But no, God continues to do His work in us. I am convinced by this. Nothing in our lives could ever derail God's work. Nothing that we have ever done, nothing that's been done to us, nothing that we didn't do that we should have done could ever derail the good work that God wants to do in our lives. Nothing is wasted in God's kingdom. Nothing is wasted in the way that God works for us. Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In all things. Your all things are different than my all things. But God can take all of our things and transform them for our good, for his glory, and for the encouragement of the body. It's amazing to see sometimes as a pastor the different perspectives some people bring to suffering. And you can watch two different people suffering through the same issue, and some people suffer in hope and faith, and some people suffer in doubt and anger. And the amazing way that God works through those who suffer in hope and faith, not only to transform their lives, but the lives of them around them. And that's God's promise. As we continue to hope, as we continue to trust him, he continues to do good work in all things that come our way. So we can have confidence in the good work of God. You know, sometimes we can turn faith into presumption. See, presumption expects God to respond to our word and our initiative. All right, God, I've got your to-do list for 2015. Pay my debt, save my friend, fix my car, heal my sickness, get my boss off my back, oh, and make the new pastor preach shorter sermons. Amen. I don't know. God, you didn't do your job. I sent you the list. The list, did you read it? It's presumption. See, faith is the opposite. Faith is our response to God's word and God's initiative. As we trust him no matter what, as we trust him even if we don't know what the end result is going to be. Rabbi Zacharias said it really well once. He said, faith is a confidence in the person of Jesus Christ and in his power, so that even when his power does not serve my end, my confidence in him remains because of who he is. See, God is not working so that we can have the life we want. He's not our butler. He's our Lord. And our faith is in him because of who he is. Our confidence is in him. And even if things aren't working out the way we wanted them to, we trust him, because the amazing thing is one day we'll stand before him and we will look upon our lives and we will say, wow, I thought you had abandoned me. I thought that actually turned out really poorly, and God will show us, no, this is how I worked. I do good work. So we have confidence in the good work of God. We also have confidence to take action. We have confidence to take action. James chapter 2, verse 17, James challenges us and he says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So he says, faith is not just intellectualism. Faith is not just, you know, saying, okay, here's the list of things that I believe. No, faith is about taking action because of our confidence. Confidence is not just about having a good feeling. It's not just about being convinced that circumstances will turn out a certain way. Confidence is about action. Other translations translate our verse for this morning, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That substance is our actions of faith. The things that we do to respond to God's word and his initiative in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Are we bold, friends? You know, there's a prayer of the believers in the book of Acts. Things are happening and the word is spreading, but there's violence beginning and arrests being made. And they prayed for boldness. Not safety, not resources, not peace and quiet, not for the Romans to leave. They prayed for boldness because they wanted to be bold enough to go out and risk their lives to spread the gospel, to share the hope they have so that others can have faith in Jesus too. We pray for boldness. You see, we're not asked to take a leap of thought only. We're asked to take a leap of action. That's what a leap of faith is. A leap of action, a leap of actually responding to what God has for us. We also have confidence to hold out for a better promise. Now, I love this. I think this is just incredible as we look at the lives of some of the men and women in this passage. See, faith gives us enough confidence to leave good things behind for the promises of God, because God's promises are so much better. See, life wants to be about comfort and accumulation and control and security. But if you've ever had any of those things, they get boring really fast. It's not the life that we signed up for. Comfort and control and security and convenience and accumulation. That's not what we signed up for. That's not what God has for us. That's not what we've seen in the church that goes out in power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit to go out and share the message to the world. See, this life promises us many things, but God's promises are so much better. They're so much greater. There's so much more in store for us if we hold out for the better promise. Later in Hebrews 11, the author uses Abraham as an example of a man of faith because of the actions he took that proved his trust in God. Abraham trusted God, it says, and it was accredited to him as his righteousness. When God came to Abraham as a young man, he came to him and he said, "Abraham, get out. Leave your country, leave your family, leave everything, and go to a country that I will show you." The King James Version is my favorite. God says, "Get thee out." Right? That's a good one. My son Reuben was in my Lazy Boy a while back, and I came up to him and I said, "Reuben, get thee out." And he goes, "What?" Like this. Working on him. But you know, Abraham likely had a pretty good life. He lived in an affluent area. He had all his family surrounding him. He was married to a beautiful woman. And God says, "Get thee out. Get out of your comfortable life. Get out of the place you are. Get out of your life of security and comfort and be a nomad living in a tent in a desert." What? Why would I do that, God? See, he easily could have just said, "God, you're crazy. Like, I've got it good here." Or he easily could have said no out of fear of the unknown that was before him. But you know what? Fear is just another way of saying faith, but it's faith in the devil, not in God. It's faith that God can't, or he won't, or he doesn't want to. That's what fear is. But faith in God says, "I don't know what's in store for me, but God has said, get thee out. So I'm going to get out because I believe that when God calls a person, his promises are better than the promises of this world." So Abraham left. Abraham's confidence in the superiority of God's promise led him to endure the inconvenience of living in a tent in a desert. How often does my faith inconvenience me? How often am I inconvenienced to be obedient to God? Faith says, "I'll live in a tent now so that tomorrow I can live in the promise." Don't get me wrong. God made this world beautiful, and he is glorified when we enjoy it. When you climb a mountain and celebrate conquering a part of creation, that's good. When you love someone and get married and have a family, that's good. When you're successful at work and gain influence and impact people's lives, that's good. When the Seahawks beat the Packers today, it'll be amazing. But as good as all of those things are, there is so much more for us. I don't know if anybody knows the name Bear Grylls. He's a popular TV host, and he does all these adventure shows. He's, you know, formerly British Secret Service or whatever they are over there. But Christian guy. And he was talking with Deion Sanders once on one of his shows. And Deion, former NFLer, he was sharing his testimony about how he reached the height of everything, but it was so empty. And God transformed his life. And they were just sharing their testimonies with one another. And Bear said this. He's a guy who's climbed Mount Everest. He's gone to every part of the world to go on incredible adventures that you and I would only dream of. And he says, "There's a great power in being able to achieve amazing things and yet hold them so lightly because you have something far more precious. We have something far more precious than anything this world has to offer. God is glorified when we enjoy creation. God is glorified when we have fun and we have great stuff in our lives. But there's so much more. Let's not get distracted by the promises of this world. Faith gives us confidence to hold out for God's promises, even when the world tries to distract us. Hebrews 10, 35 to 37 says, "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Jesus is coming, and he will not delay. You know, Jesus lived the ultimate life of faith. In hope, he came to earth to live among us. He lived a life of faith, moving toward the promises of his Father. And his Father came to him and he said, "Get out. Leave your father, leave your country, go live in a tent of flesh, and go to the land that I will show you, because I have something in store for you." And the Father's promise to Jesus was that if you sacrifice yourself, you can save your people from your sins, from their sins. If you go live in that tent, if you go inconvenience yourself on their behalf, you'll save them. Jesus had heaven. He had the presence of God. He had angels worshiping at his feet. He had a great life. But in hope, he held out for a better promise because he wanted us there with him. Because he could do that for me, that's the kind of life I can live too. A life of faith, hope in the promises of God. Being willing to leave the good, to step out in faith, to trust in his promises. The amazing thing is that we are not left just hanging here. Jesus came to live in the tent of flesh, loved us, healed us, served us, died for us, rose again, ascended to the Father. But he said also, "I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he will fill you. He will empower you so that you can go to live the life that I've called you, so that you can share the news with others and have power to do so, and so that you can live a life of faith that's required in hope and my promises." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14 says, "Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." You see, the Holy Spirit's job, part of his job at least, is to come and empower us to live the life of faith between hope and promises. And if we're struggling, if we're striving, if we're trying to do this on our own, we will fail. But Jesus says, "I am giving you the Holy Spirit to make this possible. You're not doing this on your own." He says, "I will be with you always by my Spirit." The Spirit fills the individual. The Spirit fills the church to enable us to live lives of faith, to believe, to live today in light of the promises of God, so that we will not give up on our confidence. We will not throw away our confidence. We await for him to come to fulfill all of his promises. You know, maybe there's a promise that you feel God has given you, and you're still waiting, and you're still praying into it, and you're still living by faith. Do not throw away your confidence. Maybe you're here, and you're still on the fence. You're at church, which is awesome, but you still don't really know about this Jesus guy. You don't really know about God. But today I want you to know that Jesus came. He's not just sitting up in heaven saying, "Do this, don't do that." But he came, he died for you. He gave up of himself because he wanted to be with you. And he has incredible promises in store for you, so much more than anything or anyone else could ever offer. It's time to start living a life of faith. trusting in the only one who's trustworthy, the only one who is faithful, the only one who is willing to give himself up to be with you.